has to do with what we call common education. That's the pre-K through 12, overseen by the State Department of Ed. There's a huge education budget on top of it. But really, it's what sort of increase are we going to give? And I think it can boil down to a couple of different views. If you recall, when the governor gave his inaugural address, he called for a $1,200 teacher pay raise for every teacher. In the House, we believe that's an important task that we need to accomplish. And the reason we believe it's important on top of the pay raise last year is we still have a number of emergency certifications. Now understand, emergency certifications are people who've never been in a classroom, never taught. They do have a degree, but you have to bring them and put them in the classroom and then try to get them some training. And that's just not good for our kids. We also need to keep teachers in the classroom, and by continuing to increase the pay for them, that will help encourage teachers to stay who might otherwise be considering retiring or going to one of our neighbor states. If we don't increase the pay for the teachers with the $1,200, right now we're going to be towards the top, but all the states around us who we benchmark against and who attract our teachers will also be increasing their pay, so we need to stay up there. And so fundamentally it boils down to like two separate two separate views. The first is actually three separate views. The Senate would like to just give the money to the schools unrestricted. The House would like to give the money to the schools, but part of that would be restricted to offering a pay raise to all the teachers. In play right now is whether we have what's called Section G. It's just a small part of the bill. But Section G basically says even if you're paying above the minimum right now, when you get this money, you have to give every single teacher a pay raise of $1,200. Now, the problem that comes out is if you eliminate that, it just raises the minimum salary schedule, so only the schools that are paying the minimum would have to give a pay raise. And that's not a teacher pay raise for all, and it doesn't accomplish the statewide goals that we have of making sure we have a competent professional workforce and of teachers and a competent professional teacher in front of every student. And so that's the negotiation right now.
How long do you think these negotiations will continue to go on? It feels like you guys have been talking about this for quite some time.
Well, constitutionally, they can't go on past May 31st.
5 p.m., man.
Yeah.
Gavel
so,
has to be dropped in or else.
And the first, we heard early that, we're all right there, close to each other, the governor, the Senate, and the House. Well, then we were going to be done by May 10th. Well, then they said, well, maybe don't make any plans until the 17th. And then now we're back even to the 24th. And so it's hard to tell.
I think the real challenge is that when we're, the governor's new. The governor comes from business. The governor has the views everything through a business lens, which is good. The drawback is government is not business. And things that you would do in business, like I'll just, you know, make all the decisions because I'm the chief guy, doesn't work because while he is the chief elected official, we have other statewide elected officials, and he's co-equal with the House and the Senate. So when it comes to budget and the statutes that we pass, he's just one of three that has to come to agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what will happen is if we don't come to agreement, we, of course, will end up passing a budget and sending it to the Senate and sending it to the governor because we have to. But I fully expect that we will. Right now, it's just a learning process, and I think we'll get over this without too much drama.
All right, and kind of continuing, Senator Daniels obviously isn't here with us this morning. Judd, you were saying she's at the Capitol right now kind of negotiating this budget. Are they just talking about the teacher pay raise that we've kind of talked about this morning, the $1,200?
You know, she stayed... Really, I can't even, I don't remember. They were having a specific meeting this morning that was more pertinent to one department. It wasn't education.
It was a workers' comp
bill.
Yeah, workers' comp. That they had to get through. So sometimes they're called in on Friday. I mean, we can work Fridays. Normally, we're off because we're not in session because we need to come back and talk with our constituents. But she's working on a workers' comp bill that they've got to get through.
Okay. Well, we've also, outside of the... budget, we've had some interesting bills and some great bills for the state come through in the last week, been signed and on signed by the governor. I mean, one of which, just to bring one up, was Representative Ortega passed through 2118, which protected our airspace and our training airspace from development of wind farms. The aviation has become the second largest income for the state of Oklahoma over agriculture, and as wind farms began to grow, some of that training and that flight space in and out of, say, Tinker Air Force Base was being encroached upon, and we didn't really have a specific law to kind of protect against that. And so we came in and cleared everything up, or he did, and really cleared everything up as to where they can build and when they can build to protect that and to keep our military bases, especially our our flight-oriented military bases protected here in the state of Oklahoma.
And just to clarify, people might think it's, oh, just takeoff and landing. Well, for training purposes, they go down to 500 feet above the ground. And these windmills, these wind turbines, can extend above 500 feet above the ground. So we needed something that did not affect their training mission because they're a large employer. It's something that we need to do for the nation.
Mm-hmm. Another bill I know that kind of affects people even around here in Bartlesville and all over the state was we signed a bill that would exempt the American Legion from the state sales tax. They do a lot of work to protect and help and provide services for our veterans, and we've always said that that's one of our number one priorities here in the state of Oklahoma was protecting and servicing our veterans. And so the economy was such this year that we were able to, Representative Sanders was able to get that through this year to help those guys.
And speaking of bills that you're working on, you have one that you're working on currently, too, about credit card skimmers, is that correct?
Yes, I had House Bill 2380, which would add credit card skimmers and scanners or their possession of to, it would add criminality to the possession of or sales of credit card skimmers and scanners. And we'd be the first state, if this passes, to actually outlaw the appliance rather than just the fraud associated with them. So if you get caught with one or selling one now, hopefully it's on the governor's desk right now, and hopefully he'll sign that through and we'll be the first state to actually outlaw those. And I've said everywhere running around trying to lobby this and shop this bill that there's absolutely no reason for these things to exist in the wild. They serve no other purpose except for to be the tool of a modern-day bank robber or to commit fraud. And so we hope to get that through.
And, you know, you can think about that as being akin to the fact that you can't own a radio signal jammer. Mm-hmm. And that will lead to fines and can lead to imprisonment because that's a federal law that you can't have those. You can't buy them. You can't sell them. You can't own them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Representative Fincher, I saw, or we were talking earlier about what they've done to the bill supporting computer science in schools.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Representative Boatman, who has a background in information technology, as do I, he got together and they got together with Senator Stanislavski, who's chair of the education over in the Senate, and they actually passed a bill requiring the State Department of Education to basically develop what's called a rubric for implementing quality computer science programs in schools by the end of 2019. And so what does a quality computer science program look like? That's part of the rubric. Now, for people who aren't used to the word rubric is basically a way of assessing a program or an assignment. It's got a bunch of different levels in there, and so you can actually pinpoint where somebody is, and it's a qualitative way instead of just right or wrong. It allows you to go through and figure out how good this will be. What's a quality one? How far along are we towards that?
Mm-hmm. And the goal of that was to ensure access to professional developmental training necessary for educators who will be integrating computer science and programming into all of their courses. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd be able to better prepare the Oklahoma students so they can compete in a world that's really increasingly driven by technology.
And I think part of the problem that people struggle with is the concept of computer science, because they think of it as somebody just sitting in a dark room typing on the computer all the time, writing code or writing program. And really, when it comes down to it, it really comes down to how do you take the technology and tools that are available to you and make them serve you instead of doing what the developers thought they would want to do. I mean, people have been doing that for years. How do you think about it logically and help extend them? And so this also is not something just for the workforce. It's something that you really need personally to be able to do.
And why is that? Why do you need that?
Oh, it will save you time. It will allow you to get information you didn't have before. Just a very simple one for anybody who does any amount of writing, even if it's just a couple of pages at a time. Just knowing how to manipulate your word processing program by writing custom code that do things that you do all the time can make life so much easier. I do that with how I manage my lists and all my programs that I have at there at the Capitol. When I do bill markup, they had programs written. I went through and extended them because it allows me to keep track of what I'm doing. This is a tremendous time saver. If not, you just kind of sit down and you do things by brute force in an old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I kind of remember this in discussion a little while ago about the incarceration rates in Oklahoma. How is that bill coming back? I think it passed the Senate and it's back in the House. Is that correct?
Which bill pertaining to incarceration?
There were several criminal justice bills.
Now, we had 252, which was a Senate bill that's running back and forth, that they're really kind of calling a catch-and-release bill that had to do with bail and bail bondsmen. That's just the term
the
I always hear.
The opponents called it a catch and release
bill.
Yeah,
the opponents.
And the people who have been writing me have been bail bondsmen from all over the state. But basically, that has gone to the Senate. It's in conference right now. We passed it out without the title on for just to remind people. We do what's called striking the title off a bill to keep it live for negotiation, because a bill without a title cannot become law. And so now it's in negotiation. What they're trying to do is they're trying to satisfy all the various parties, but they wanted this vehicle to at least allow the negotiations to take place.
Okay.
While we're on criminal justice, another thing that we got through, Carol Bush worked on, Representative Bush, that was, I thought, important and a big thing in Oklahoma, is we hear a lot about the backlog of rape kits in the state of Oklahoma at the SBI, OSBI, some 7,200 or something we're behind. They have passed a bill, I don't even know if it's come off the governor's desk or not, but it authorized the use of one standard sexual assault evidence kit by all law enforcement agencies. And that was to speed up the process of getting those through, to put a timeline on when they need to be processed, to actually start working on that backlog kit. And that I think was very important legislation to get through, to be able to help the victims of these crimes get through the process and get through the legal system.
And it also allows a couple of other rights. For example, if you are a victim, you have the right to have the kit tested. You also have the right after collection to ask that the kit not be tested. And I won't get into the number of reasons, but this was a part of the debate on the floor. But you can ask for it not to be tested, but they will still save it, and you can then come back later and ask for it to be tested.
Okay. Well, we don't have very much time left. I just want to know from you guys, what do you think is the most important thing moving on? I know you guys are going to be adjourned in like the 31st, is what you said?
Hopefully before that, right. But we have to be finished by the 31st.
Right. Well, the budget is absolutely the most important thing that we're working on right now. You know, we fund, 129 different agencies at the state level with this, and each one of these agencies are waiting right now to see what they're going to have to work with next year. And how they're going to be able to set up, I mean, their employment numbers, their own personal specified budgets. And so that I think is the most important thing. And that, when we start, we're talking about funding education, funding law enforcement, funding our military here in the state, funding just every single state agency is waiting for those numbers to be able to plan for next year. So that I think is the most important thing that we'll get done, you know, in the next week or so to come.
Right. And you think the same thing, Representative?
Yes, I think that's what we're going to be working on next year. I think healthcare will be big, because you've heard about the petition to expand Medicaid. Hopefully we will get ahead of that instead of running behind it like we did with criminal justice reform and medical marijuana. So.
All right. Well, Representative Fincher, Representative Strom, thank you so much for coming in this morning. I hope you guys have a good rest of your weekend, and we look forward to talking to you next Friday.
Okay.
Thanks for having us, and thank you, Phillip 66.
Yes, thank you, Phillip 66. Talk to you later.
Brew and Buzz on the way next.
That's not the sound.